It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention that WPR continues to bring you coverage of the latest coronavirus developments from our reporters around the state. You can submit your questions about COVID-19. We'll do our best to answer them. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're talking about library services amid the pandemic. Libraries have reoriented quickly, reminding us patrons of their vast holdings of online content and assembling collections of COVID-19 links and information, and now more resources with curbside pickup. Are you a librarian filling curbside book orders? What do you think about this offering? Are you a library patron? What do you miss about going inside? How could your library be a greater service at this crisis time? We're at 800-642-1234. Angie Bodislaw is library director of the Spooner Memorial Library in northwestern Wisconsin. Angie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
And Martha Van Pelt is here, system director of the South Central Library System, which comprises more than 60 libraries in 7 counties. Martha, welcome to you.
Well, good morning to you.
So, Martha, late last month, Governor Evers granted libraries across the state the option to offer curbside pickup of books. From your vantage point, how does curbside pickup work, and is it working?
I think it is working. To start with, libraries are different from restaurants and retail stores that the exchange is not one way, which creates challenges for us. Library sharing of books is a continuous circle. We take in books and CDs and DVDs as well as lending them out, and each transaction item is possibly exposed to COVID-19. So we have a lot of extra steps involved, but you can't keep a good librarian down, so what they're doing...
We know that.
Yeah. So each item, as it comes in, goes into a 72-hour quarantine period. So in order to do this, libraries set up quarantine spaces inside their individual libraries. And so each open day represents a new area that they have to create. Now all the SCLS materials, that's within the counties of Adams, Columbia, Dane, Greene, Portage, Sauk, and Wood, hopefully I didn't forget anyone, those due dates have been extended out, and there's no fines accruing. So right now those overdue dates aren't even showing up till June 1st and July 1, and that's dependent on the library. So some libraries will accept returns, but honestly, they would appreciate customers holding on to the materials at home. That, you know, libraries typically count on having a third of their collection always out of the building. We've done a really good job over the last 150 years to teach everyone to return the materials promptly. But right now, this is the exception, and it would be really helpful not to have to handle those extra materials right now with the limited space and limited staff. So that's what the libraries are doing to handle the materials. But getting the materials to them is what SCLS does. We're the largest delivery service for library materials within the state of Wisconsin. So we have over 25 drivers and 20 trucks. And being so large actually makes it more difficult to run the service. We can't have that many people in close proximity within our Dane County garage for loading and sorting all those materials. We did a delivery run last week, and we're doing one today and tomorrow. And in the last delivery run, we brought back over 600 totes or bins, those, you know, like Rubbermaid things. Now, each tote holds an average of about 40 items, which means the crew has to sort over 24,000 items on each run.
Wow.
Now, that can't be done in a day.
Wow.
So to keep our customers safe, you know, the truck and the driver pick up the closed baskets of totes full of books and CDs from the library. They drive back to the garage. They unload those closed totes, and then they let them sit for 72 hours. They don't open them up. They have tops. At the end of the quarantine at the garage, the totes are opened, the materials are sorted into the different totes for their new locations, they're then closed again, and they're sat again in the garage for another 70 hours. So then they go out to the libraries. And the rule of thumb that we're going by is whoever the receiver is, they're responsible for the quarantine. So it's sort of like, you're it, you know, we got it to you, you have to let it sit again. So it's very complicated, but it's just part of what we've always done. And actually getting library books, we make it look really easy for our customers, but it's always been kind of a complicated thing.
Angie, so what I want to get Angie in here. What does the workflow look like at Spooner and how you're offering curbside? How does that work for you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So our library is in Spooner, Wisconsin, which it has 2,600 people, and our library building is 5,500 square feet. So what it looks like here is limited staffing, four staff in the building spread out, and we've made some kind of mock workstations. We're offering curbside pickup Monday through Thursday, 10 to 5. Patrons can call or order items online and then schedule a pickup time. And we created a Google form with the help of our system where patrons can schedule in 15-minute increments to come pick up their bag from outside on a little table. We found that if we did not use a little table, that patrons like to put returns on there. And returns, as you heard from Martha, are a big deal. So we only have our Dropbox open on Mondays and Thursdays, and we let the items sit for 72 hours before we process them. Since we do not have delivery, we do welcome materials back, but only on those days for patron and staff safety. All of our staff are wearing masks, cloth masks. We're all practicing the CDC guidelines to wash our hands, sanitize. We sanitize the table between each patron. And our goal is minimal contact curbside checkouts, which means that one staff person deals from the beginning to the end with the patron's items and their bag. On the bag, we staple a little slip that says what the patron's initials, which we put initials for privacy, and then the staff person who worked on it initials it as well. And then we keep track of all of the who processed which order for the sake of contact tracing. It sounds complicated, but I think this is our third or fourth week going into it, and we've got a pretty steady workflow. And one big prop to our community is that every single bag that has been scheduled to pick up was picked up, and most of the time on time.
Well, it sounds like you have a system in place that is now running pretty smoothly. We have Angie Bodislaw, Library Director at the Spooner Memorial Library in the northwestern part of the state. Martha Van Pelt is here as well, System Director of the South Central Library System. And you can join in 800-642-1234. Does your local library offer curbside right now? Have you used it? How do you like it? Are you a librarian or library worker filling curbside orders? How is it going? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Martha, why is it important to offer curbside library book service? Why are you going through, if I might say, this trouble?
It's what we do. I mean, librarians are in this job because they are passionate about it. They like the people. They like helping people fulfill their whatever their need is, whether it's recreational, if they are looking for work with for reference, or looking, as I said, for work, employment. Those connections are still made. Libraries are part of the community. People come in here every day. We know people by name. It's people don't always think about the library, but we are part of the community, just like the church and the grocery store. It's where people go to find comfort, information, and entertainment. And we need more of that in this time of crisis.
Martha, do you have enough PPE, the masks and the surgical gloves, the other things that you're needing in order to handle these books safely?
We do right now, but, you know, we're having a hard time finding them just like everyone else. We don't have the access, you know, that, you know, the medical teams and the emergency teams do. I just delivered a bunch to our delivery drivers last night, and I did them myself, finding them on the Internet, and it's, you know, company it wasn't Costco or anything like that. We got there. We're also one of the local companies here is a distillery. They're now making hand sanitizer. So we went over there and bought what we needed. So we do have what we have, and the libraries, you know, we're all kind of sharing and sharing alike. It is a concern, and if we do run out, the doors will have to shut, because we're only going to do this if we can keep our staff and our customers safe. We don't want to be, you know, the thread that links all these libraries to illnesses out to the public.
Martha, if you're dispatching all these holdings of books and you don't want people to return them right now, which is understandable, how long can you go like this?
We can go a long, long time. We have millions of items out there. I would say the patrons would disagree with me because, like, well, I want this book specifically. So the libraries are mainly pulling just from their own local holdings. The materials are not traveling too quickly or too fast behind them. So if there's a book at the Verona Library that you really want, but you're going to Fitchburg, that's going to be a problem. Because we normally would work 6 days a week and do 2 and 3 runs a day. Well, what we're doing now is it's taking us 2 days to do one run. So things are more slow.
We're talking about library offerings, curbside services, how it gets done in the pandemic. We have two librarians, Martha Van Pelt and Angie Bodeslaw. What do you think about library pickup orders? Do you think it is safe? How is your local library making a difference in your life now? Or what service could it provide you remotely that it's not doing now? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, in this global health crisis, we see libraries expanding their online presence. And now in spots around the state, curbside pickup of books. But there are lingering questions like how will libraries clean books in the future? What will contact-free drive-throughs look like in the future? Still time to talk about it. 800-642-1234. We have Martha Van Pelt, System Director of the South Central Library System, and Angie Bodeslaw, who is director of the Spooner Memorial Library. They stay with us. So, Angie, in many rural places around the state, good internet access is hard to come by. Have you noticed people parking in the library parking lot using the Wi-Fi signal?
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, our system technology person is working to help us make our Wi-Fi go even further. But, yeah, absolutely.
Martha, what are you seeing in terms of Wi-Fi with the South Central Library System?
So we're a mix of counties, very rural, very poor, to, you know, to downtown Madison. So whether you're rural or urban, you may have a Wi-Fi drop. So we've been installing and boosting the outside Wi-Fi access for our libraries. We have a large technology team who's been going out and doing that. We've also been installing more laptops versus PCs, for flexibility and mobility of the staff trying to serve this. Using what we've learned with the remote technology is to provide more accessibility to people who can't travel to libraries. And this is something we're learning now that we can use in the future also. So we're applying what we're learning in this sort of bad time, what we can do during the good times to be even better.
Yeah, and so when you look at your Wi-Fi capabilities, do you see that that is an area that could help you bring more online resources to patrons who can't get out of their homes?
Oh, very much so. Or even if they can get someplace at a central location in a county that they could go and use that parking lot, we're happy to help them. Actually, there's a website for the public Wi-Fi spots the Department of Public Instruction put together, and people can go there and find out a close Wi-Fi free site that they can visit. And I don't know if it'll be on your website or not. I can give it out to you.
Yeah, we'll for sure put it there. I was playing around with it myself over the weekend, putting in different addresses to see what those hotspots are, and things came up that I had never heard of before. So it seems like it's a very helpful resource.
Oh, definitely. We're aware that books can, you know, we're doing downloadable books too. During this time, the Department of Public Instruction and a lot of the libraries and systems have put a lot more money into buying more materials that can be downloaded for free. From the month of February to March alone, checkouts through that service, which is called Overdrive through WPLC, it increased 60%. And user activity increased 90%. And it was very popular to start with.
Wow. Angie, what are readers requesting these days?
Oh, so I asked my staff, and strangely enough, people have been asking for more Dick Francis books. It's weird, but I tried to figure out why. Why are people asking for more Dick Francis books?
Explain for us what Dick Francis writes.
He writes mystery books, and we have seen more mysteries go out. Anything that has the word pandemic in it, anything about Depression era, our graphic novels section is like really empty, and we have a lot of graphic novels. A ton of puzzles have gone out, books about DIY house projects, poultry keeping, parenting and technology, all sorts. We've seen a lot of our classics go out. I think that's has to do with a lot of people that normally browse. They're ready to try out classics, but yeah, I don't get the Dick Francis thing, but it's something I've seen.
Martha, any trends that you're seeing?
Well, it was funny. I had to hold my tongue when Angie was talking because I asked our libraries, too, and the answer came back, mysteries, lots of mysteries, number one, then followed by cookbooks.
No, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But they said far and away it is mysteries. You know, the typical mostly popular fiction stuff and some history and nonfiction. But they said hands down, you know, people just want to escape to another world for a while.
So, Martha, as you look ahead here and look at all of these library locations, dozens of them in these seven counties that you have, what does the future hold? When might you be able to open your doors again?
All of our libraries are already dealing with that and trying to make plans for it. I have meetings every day, they do too, with the idea of a slow and steady reopening. They, you know, they want the patrons to come back, but everyone want to be safe too. So they are planning on kind of going back to the old days, which predates me even, of closed stacks. And what that is you could... The idea of closed stacks is you walk into the library and you won't be able to wander freely up and down the aisles because, you know, you're spreading possible COVID-19. But what will happen is you'll tell the librarians, I would really like a Dick Francis. They will send someone into the aisles to get the book and bring it back to you, which is where, you know, you talk about a call number. That's where that started from. It's like you would call the number and send someone into the aisles, what we call stacks, to find it. So that's one of the things that a lot of the libraries are thinking they might start with. Also, they are spreading out their computers to 6 feet apart so they can have people using them. But at the same time, it's easy to, you know, to say and hard to do because you need an electrical plug and you need a contact with the internet somehow, and that's not always a neat little 6 feet apart from where it started from.
Yeah, so lots of reconfiguration within the library. Angie, are you looking at closed stacks, or what might your reopening in Spooner look like?
Yeah, so we are not looking at closed stacks. We have a different plan. I think it's important for readers to know that the plans for each library is going to be different because of the library's community and the library's size. But regarding reopening, we still have plans to open how we closed, which was in stages. We're going to continue to offer minimal contact curbside pickup. And before the order was struck down, my team and I discussed reopening, and we concluded that we needed to open in a way that's sustainable and safe. So currently the plan is to open up to 5 patrons at a time for 15-minute increments, and we'll use a Google form for that, beginning June 5th. And then offering this service on Fridays only. Patrons can only visit when they're scheduled. And then Monday through Thursday, we'll continue to offer curbside pickup. And then to protect our staff and patrons, we will continue to wear masks, install a tempered glass barrier at the front desk, and have patrons check themselves out with the barcode scanner instead of staff checking them out. Patrons will be asked to maintain 6 feet when in the building. All toys will be put away, and children under 8 will be asked to stay home or use curbside pickup. Masks will be required of patrons only if we are able to provide them for the patrons. And we have some cloth mask makers making some masks for us. At a later date, we'll open up a computer to be used, but for the first week of reopening, we are not going to have one open. And we'll continue to monitor the situation and work closely with public health like we have been. The Department of Health and our system work hard to assist us, and they have plans. And part of their plan has a stage where the number of visitors in your library is based on the library square footage. So that will be to come later.
At a later time. Martha, yes. What about the kids? Because kids love their library, and there have been so many events over the years that kids attend. How are you connecting with them?
A lot of the libraries are doing Facebook story times. There's also remote scavenger hunts. So if people are looking for things to help with their kids, go to the individual library's website, and you will find a motherload of good ideas and connections there. Across the state, DPI, which is sort of the overarching agency for us, they have people working on this. There'll still be summer reading programs, not the ones that you had last year, but coming up, some with remote access with something called Beanstack. So the kids are not being forgotten very much. Every day I see more and more emails come through like, try these resources, and this is what we're doing at our library.
Well,
the best
thank
place
you.
Is to go to the website.
Thank you both so much for joining us. Martha Van Pelt, System Director of the South Central Library System, Angie Bodeslaw, Library Director at the Spooner Memorial Library. If you want some great links, go to WPR.org/mornings for the ones we talked about. And just ahead, we look at how private universities are doing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.